Heavenly Father, we just praise you for who you are. I love that song that was just going about how you're such a good, good father. And I know that shows up in the next lesson. And we just thank you that you care so much about us. We thank you that Jesus is coming again, and the just horrific things that go on in this world will not go on forever. But you, Lord, and your word will go on forever. And so we praise you for giving us the understanding that we desire to invest in you and your word and all that you're doing. And I just pray that you'll be with us tonight as we hear from your word and as we have discussion about you and your word and pray together, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will be moving just mightily among us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And we just pray that you will just thrill us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, well, last week, you know, I forgot to put pictures of my grandson in the slideshow. So this year, no joke, this time I was going to jokingly like, oh, and here's a picture of him, but then have it like every other slide is him, like as a joke. So I may still do that next time, we'll see. But then since Ragnar was born, Rosie, Nancy's granddaughter, was born. So yes, we've already begun arrangements for an arranged marriage. And so maybe next week we can do a picture of Ragnar and Rosie, and then who knows, like 30 years later, we'll do one of their wedding. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, let's go ahead and our next slide will have our memory verse on it, and we'll go ahead and read that together. So it's Exodus 15, 1 through 3. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang the song, everybody, to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Exodus 15, 1 through 3. And that was our first memory verses from part one, if you were part of that study. I wanted to mention, I love where it says the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, because I love knowing that's who's fighting for me. And it made me think, and maybe I mentioned this last week, maybe I've mentioned it before, but I was in North Carolina years ago, kicking off a study, just some women up there that were doing one of the Abide in Him studies. And the person hosting me, we had gone to someone's home to see a gorgeous sunset off the back of their, you know, balcony. It was just gorgeous. And so this beautiful long deck looking out, just stunning scenery. And I had no reason to believe everyone on there was a believer. It wasn't like it was the Bible study and we were all there. And this is what, and something came up about Jesus' return. And this is what I've learned. I remember in high school, one of our friends' mom was having a baby, and a person that I was quite sure was a believer, one of the girls, said, oh, maybe, you know, Jesus is coming again. Maybe she's pregnant with him. I'm like, what? We forget sometimes that people don't, if you're not in the Word, they don't know. They just don't know. They hear that Jesus is coming again. They know he came as a baby the first time, so, you know, they haven't studied it. They don't know, and so we know that. But someone made a comment like that, like Jesus is coming again. Who knows? Maybe we've seen him in the grocery store, something like that. And I'm just sitting there listening. And I'm praying, Lord, you know, if you want me to speak, give me words to say. And the man next to me, I'd already gotten to thank him. He was a Vietnam vet. And God knows that makes my day. If he wants to thrill me, he gives me a chance to thank a vet. And he said something about it. And I was able to turn to him. I said, do you know what? The Bible actually tells us how he's coming again. And he's coming back as a warrior. And that, like, I know it was the Lord that gave me those words. And it so resonated with him. And it opened a conversation about how much, you know, he, as a warrior, how much it meant when he looked out there. It just calls for worship when you're looking at a scene like that. So I just thought that was so interesting. We need to know our God is a man of war. And he's coming back as a warrior, and that's going to play into the message tonight. So I also want to mention with the memory verses, because I'm not writing all five lessons for the next week, I don't know how long this is going to be. I don't know how long the study is going to be. The memory verses are divided up for a 7-week study like last time. So I'm going to say you're going to get really just 2 lessons this week. And that's our week's lessons. So when you're writing in your memory verse, I didn't give you a new memory verse. Go ahead and just write in the old one. You know, we'll have a couple of weeks probably to work on each one. So we'll make this week's memory verse next week's memory verse, and it'll all fall into place. But I don't think of myself as OCD at all, but there's a little OCD in all of us apparently, because I couldn't bring myself to give you the next memory verse because we're not finished with this week and it has a page number and it'll mess up your other page numbers. And so we're going to do it like this. All right. Before I begin sharing the message, I'm going to show you a commercial, but I want to warn you, this is not a fun, happy, funny commercial. This is a horrible commercial. And so if you want to like close your eyes and close your ears, it's just kind of, it's not going to be a great commercial, but if you can handle it, it'll make sense as to why I'm showing it. So I put that in case that final quote is okay to be lost, in case you weren't sure who they were quoting, Satan himself. This is frightening. I mean, it ends with, you know, take on figuring it out. Like, wow, that's great. What kind of advice is that? How does that help anybody? So this is what we're seeing today. This is what kids are seeing today. This is what's going on in our culture. And it's just kind of frightening to watch. We know that really we're seeing Romans 1:32, and that says, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That is what we're seeing. So while others are celebrating, like, you know, half of America probably would look at that and go, what's wrong with that? People being themselves and, you know, applauding, that's just beautiful. What causes us then to see something wrong here? You know, and of course, a big catch is it's okay to be lost. As believers, we know that's the last thing that's okay. Yes, that's right. Because if you don't believe there's any really real thing to believe, then why not let everybody believe everything? And there's a lot of really nice people that believe everyone ought to believe whatever they want to believe. And they should in a free world. Of course, we can believe whatever we want. But we know there is truth. And it does matter what we believe. It matters greatly. So we're going to be looking at that. With thoughts of intimacy with God, which is what we're focusing on, why do we see something wrong with this? One reason is from John 15:15. It says, no longer, this is Jesus speaking, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that precious? We were enemies of God. Every one of us, before we came to Christ, were rebels, we were sinners, we were enemies with God, we were friends with the world, and at enmity with God. And I was 7 or 8 when I came to Christ, so it's not like I had time to do just crazy, wild sinning, but I still was an enemy of God until I came to Him. And we, of course, can consider that age of accountability. But we thank Him that when He's saying, you're now friends of mine, you're now part of my kingdom, you're part of my campaign, you're for my campaign, and we get to serve Him in it. And that's why knowing Him, studying His Word, walking with Him, this is why we see something like this and go, oh, something is not right here, because He's opened our eyes to see, because we're friends with Him. So we were enemies, and now we're friends, and now we see how things really are. So we can go ahead to that next slide with the basin on it. All right, the title, I titled this Blood in the Basin because when we were studying Exodus last time, and now reading it again, even before I got to it in chapter 12, it mentioned the blood in the basin more than once. And when something's repeated, you know how it catches our attention? We kind of wonder, I wonder why that's repeated, or maybe just God allows it to start stirring in our minds. And we talked at the time about how the blood in the basin mattered because it was the Passover lamb blood. And that was the blood that had to be applied. So the blood matters. The blood matters. Which blood is applied matters. And they had to apply it to the lintel and doorpost so the death angel would pass over. The lamb, the death of the lamb, redeemed the firstborn. The firstborn is the one that was going to die. But God allowed them to redeem their firstborn with a lamb. But the lamb had to die. Somebody had to die. And in this case, it would be the lamb. So I was struggling, honestly, with my own situation. And I was thinking about how 1 John 2:2 says, He, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He bled and died for the sins of the whole world. Every sin that's ever been committed, ever will be committed, His blood, He shed His blood to cover every single one. So here I am struggling. I'm like, but God, what about those who don't apply the blood? And you see the picture He gave us in Exodus. If that blood had remained in the basin and they didn't take hyssop and put it on the lintel, and they would have died. Just having the blood in the house wasn't gonna cut it. You had to apply the blood. And that's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, a true Christian and a non-Christian. The only difference there is that we have applied the blood. We've heard that the blood of Christ can cover. Not only did we hear, we have applied it. We said, Lord, I believe that. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. So I'm applying His death, His blood to mine. I'm giving you my sin and I'm taking on your righteousness. And that's basically the gospel. So you can see how it pleases the Father for a soul to apply the blood of His precious Son, because that blood is already there. Just like the lamb was already dead and the blood was there whether you used it or not. Imagine not using it and just acting like it's worthless. The lamb dies and you're not even going to use the blood. You're just going to leave it there. So imagine the Son of God coming. Didn't have to come. Comes from the throne of glory to live as a human out of His love for us. And He has spilled His blood. Can you imagine someone not applying it? So that's what's going to happen with the sins of those who do not come to Christ. Those sins will have to be paid for. And they will be paying for those sins for all of eternity. And that's why it's so important to get the gospel out and to share truth with people and not to allow this, you know, where they're filling in hymns. Instead of singing about the wrath of God, they replace wrath with love. Now, the love of God. Well, we sing about the love of God too, but you take out the wrath and you're going to send a lot of people to hell because they're not going to understand why it matters. It matters. So as I thought about it, and I'm going to read you the Exodus 12, 22. It says, take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, that blood, and touch the lintel and the doorpost with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. So it was applying the blood that atones for our sins. So I had all these notes, but I see that I didn't even look at my notes, and now I'm glancing at my notes to see if I actually went through what I had hoped to share. I think I did. But can you imagine then how the Father feels for those who are not applying the blood? The blood of His Son is there. It's there for every sin in the world. But there are some who are saying, forget the blood. Not bothering with the blood. Don't believe it. Doesn't matter. How does the Father feel about that? And so we see in 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 8, the truth that a lot of even people calling themselves Christians are trying to cover, because it doesn't sound good. People don't like the sound of this, and goodness knows we want the world to like us. Unfortunately, that's the attitude of a lot of churches. Their goal is to make sure the people out there like them. Well, that's never been our goal. Our goal has been to present Christ as He truly is so they will fall in love with Him. Forget us. So 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 8, it says, therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in all the afflictions that you are enduring. I don't know if this helps anybody else, but this helped me this week. I'm reading this book called Are You Really Okay? And I need it right now with the trauma I'm dealing with. And so it walks through the emotions of Christ, because Christ had emotions, because He was fully human and fully God. And yet His emotions were always in check, right on. He never disobeyed. He never overstepped. Our emotions can lie. You know, we can imagine things or we can be fearful and really there's nothing to be scared of. So this blessed me so much because when I read this, I had had a couple of days of what felt like pure agony. And God knows I'm grieving and I have days, but it just felt like agony. I was actually looking up some verses, you know, with different words in it like that. Well, then she uses the fact that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his emotions had him at the point of droplets of blood, sweating droplets of blood, which is very rare. So here he is in his humanness in fight or flight. You better run. You're about to be tortured and killed. So what does your body do when someone says you're going to be tortured and killed? I don't care how brave you are. I don't care how much you know you're supposed to do it. Your body is going to rightly react because it's that same reaction that would save you from a tiger attacking you or something. It's right to have that emotion. So he's having that fight or flight emotion, and yet, and all kind, imagine all the emotions, just imagine. And yet, what does he do? He stays. He stays. He does not move one bit, and he barrels right on to where he's supposed to go. So that just blessed me a lot. I thought, that's it. So I thought, okay. And then the verse that talks about it, it says, in his agony, he prayed more earnestly. So that was my word for the day. Okay, Lord, I've got all, you know, I was with this person for 40 years of my life. There, it's hard to find a memory that, you know, certain things don't pop up. So the whole world is like full of triggers for me. Like the whole world is like trigger, 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 trigger. And I thought, what if, okay, if the trigger then causes agony or emotion or whatever, what if that triggers me to pray more earnestly? Isn't that cool? So we can actually use those triggers that maybe trigger something unpleasant, but then that unpleasantness makes us pray more earnestly, and it's a win every time. It's a victory. So that helped me a lot. I thought that might be a good word out there about what to do in our afflictions. Verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God. And remember, God hardened Pharaoh's heart and did many more things than would have been necessary. Much of that, I don't want to say not necessary, it was all necessary. But he would harden his heart and make him stay so he could do more wonders until Egypt was ruined. But that was because not only was he rescuing his people, he was inflicting judgment. So we have both of those going on, and that's why you see things the way they are. And in our own situations, people who are going, what in the world? How is that person getting away with that? And I'm the one constantly afflicted. There's likely judgment going on along with all that God is doing. And remember, God's judgment is very, he's very merciful. If someone's still alive and breathing, we're praying for their salvation. So we don't know what's going on in every situation, but God is doing a lot of things in every situation. So this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. How in the world are we made worthy to be in the kingdom of God? By applying the blood of Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way. Nothing in us to do that. Verse 6, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. No one's getting away with anything. It's okay when the righteous martyrs at the sixth seal, somewhere around there, say, maybe it's the fifth. Anyway, one of the seals when the martyrs rise up and they're saying, Lord, you know, when are you going to avenge our blood? He doesn't say, shame on you for wanting that. He says, you rest until the number of the other martyrs is taken care of. That's when it'll happen. So everything's going to be paid for. That's why we pray that while someone's still living and breathing, they will come to Christ and get those sins, get that evil, get that stuff under the blood of Christ and take on his righteousness. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who left the blood unapplied, there is great vengeance, great wrath of God coming at them because he sent his son to die for them. And they said, forget it. So that is why his wrath will come. So we've already talked about this, but why then do we kind of know this, while the world seems to be drinking delusion, constantly. Well, it's very humbling. It's because he chose us. You know, he tells us that in John 15. He chose us not because there was anything in us worth anything. He just opened our eyes to see. And like, that's why I love to share the gospel with people, because I feel like if he can save me, he can save anybody, you know? So that's why we just humbly, we don't get mad at someone. If they can't see, they can't see. That'd be getting mad at a blind person because they can't see that chair right there. Well, people that don't know Christ, they are spiritually blind. They are really not seeing it. They can watch a commercial like that and go, I don't see why that's bothering you. I don't understand what's wrong with that. And we have to have compassion, and we have to be humble and understand if we can see, it's by the grace of God. And we thank him for it. So, you know, the world says it's okay to be lost, like that commercial. It's okay to be lost because Satan is the god or ruler of this world. And he wants everyone to believe that. But listen to what Jesus said, and Jesus cannot lie. So we know this is true in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It is not okay to be lost. That's why Jesus left the throne of glory and came and died on a cross so that we could be saved and found and not lost. And we know that because we're friends of his. It's that intimacy that we're looking at in this second part of Exodus. So we're going to listen to a song about being friends of God. And I don't know why this tickles me, but years ago in the 9 o'clock service, when Dr. Youssef still did the 9 o'clock, he was telling us that Buddy Green was going to be he was going to come and do the music the next week. And it was so cute with his accent and everything else. This is how it came out. Buddy Green will be coming to rock the house. Like, Buddy Green's coming to rock the house. And I don't know why my kids and I repeated that like for years. We'll still just suddenly go, Buddy Green's going to rock the house. So that's how I feel right now, because this song's a little rock in the house. So we're going to listen to this song. It's Friend of God by Israel Houghton. And I'm pronouncing that right. And it will rock the house. And we'll be prepared for that. But then we'll go right into prayer. So if you feel to pray out loud after the song, please do. If you don't, no problem. But we'll just get quiet after the song, see how the Spirit leads, and go from there. So, Jeff.